There is a lineage in American aerospace that most pilots know by name and reputation, even if they have never seen one fly. X-planes. The Bell X-1 that Chuck Yeager pointed at the sound barrier and punched through in 1947. The North American X-15 that climbed to the edge of space with nothing but a rocket engine and a test pilot's nerve. The X-29 with its forward-swept wings that made every aerodynamicist in the room a little nervous every time it rotated off the runway at Edwards. Each one of those aircraft was built with a specific purpose, not to carry passengers, not to win a war, to answer a question that mathematics alone couldn't settle. To prove or disprove a theory in the real atmosphere where the air doesn't behave exactly the way the equations say it should. I'm Vector. This is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking about the most recent entry in that lineage. A small, unremarkable-looking aircraft built on an Italian twin-engine piston airframe, taken apart and rebuilt to explore one of the most important ideas in modern aviation engineering. The NASA X-57 Maxwell, and the concept at its heart, distributed electric propulsion, may reshape the way the next generation of aircraft are designed and certified. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the milestones that actually matter. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the core idea. If you've spent your flying career in conventional piston or turbine aircraft, you understand propulsion as a concentrated force. One engine, one propeller. Two engines, two propellers. A turbofan pulling a column of air. The power comes from a discrete source and the rest of the airframe is designed around it. Distributed electric propulsion, which researchers shortened to DEP, inverts that relationship. Instead of one or two large power sources, you distribute many small electric motors across the aircraft, usually along the leading edge of the wing, each one driving a smaller propeller. And when you do that, something genuinely interesting happens to the aerodynamics of the wing itself. Here's the physics. A spinning propeller in front of a wing surface accelerates the airflow over that surface. Faster airflow over a wing produces more lift. If you're producing more lift from the same wing area, you need less wing area to achieve the same total lift at a given speed. Less wing area means less induced drag. Less induced drag means better cruise efficiency. And here's what makes this specifically electric. You can place small electric motors almost anywhere on a structure, run them at precisely controlled speeds, turn them off when you don't need them, and restart them almost instantly. You cannot do that with conventional turbine engines. You cannot mount 12 small turbofans along a leading edge and expect to start and stop them independently in flight without serious consequences for the airframe and for your insurance rate. The researchers at NASA's Langley Research Center had been building computational models and wind tunnel datasets around this concept for years. Their analysis suggested that if you position the motors correctly, spacing them evenly across the span of the wing, you could reduce the wing's total area by as much as 40% compared to a conventional aircraft of the same takeoff weight, while maintaining the lift you need for departure and initial climb. The resulting smaller wing would have significantly lower drag and cruise, even after accounting for the additional motor and propeller hardware. The efficiency numbers on paper were compelling, but aviation does not certify aircraft on paper. You have to fly it. That's where the X-57 came in. NASA's aeronautics researchers selected the Technam P-2006T as the base airframe. If you haven't flown one, it's a light Italian twin used in Europe for training and personal transportation. High wing configuration, twin piston engines, well-characterized aerodynamics, extensively documented performance. It was a clean starting point. Predictable. Exactly what you want when you're trying to isolate the effect of a specific modification. Change one thing at a time. That's how you learn something. The program was named the X-57 Maxwell, honoring James Clerk Maxwell, the Scottish physicist whose equations describing electromagnetism are the mathematical foundation of modern electrical engineering. Every motor, every controller, every electron moving through the X-57 systems ultimately traces back to Maxwell's work. It was a fitting tribute for a program about turning electrons into lift. The modification plan was structured in four stages, Mod 1 through Mod 4. Each one built on the last Mod 1 was the controlled baseline. The standard piston engines were removed and replaced with electric motors producing equivalent power output. The wing, the tail, the fuselage, the flight controls, all of it stayed stock. This gave researchers a directly comparable electric version of the original aircraft. Before you measure the effect of your changes, you need to know precisely what you started with. You're establishing the controlled variable before you start adjusting things. Mod 2 was the first major redesign, and this is where things get genuinely interesting. The original Technum wing was removed and replaced with a completely new, smaller, higher aspect ratio wing with roughly 40% less area. On the leading edge of that smaller wing, NASA mounted 12 small electric motors, 6 per side, each one driving a small fixed-pitch propeller. These are the high-lift propulsors. Their job is to accelerate airflow over the wing during takeoff and initial climb, where you need maximum lift at lower airspeeds. Think of them as powered high-lift devices. But instead of drooping a flap to mechanically change the wing geometry, they're changing the aerodynamics by energizing the airflow above the wing's surface. Once you're established in cruise at altitude, you don't need those 12 motors running anymore. They're not efficient cruise propulsion. They were designed specifically for the departure and climb phase. So after reaching cruise altitude, the propeller blades feather and the motor assemblies retract flush against the wing's leading edge, reducing drag to near zero. If you're picturing that mechanism and thinking it sounds mechanically complex, you're right. It is. And that complexity turns out to matter significantly to the story. For cruise propulsion, the X-57 carries two larger motors mounted at the wingtips. Wingtip-mounted propellers interact with the tip vortex, the spiraling flow of air that rolls off the end of every finite wing in flight. A wingtip propeller can partially recapture some of that energy, converting what would otherwise be wasted rotational flow into useful thrust and reducing induced drag in the process. It's a more aggressive version of the same principle behind winglets, except you're actively putting energy into the flow rather than just redirecting it. The complete configuration, 12 folding high-lift motors plus two wingtip cruise motors, all running from an onboard battery pack, was the heart of the experiment. Mod 3 and Mod 4 refined the concept further, with improvements to the motor mounting structures, the battery management system, and the control software responsible for coordinating all 14 motors simultaneously throughout the flight envelope. And here's where I'm going to be honest with you about what the program actually accomplished. Because this show deals in data, not press releases. The X-57 program conducted extensive ground testing, the electrical systems were characterized, the motor controllers were debugged across multiple revision cycles. The battery thermal management systems were evaluated under various load conditions. There were flight tests in the Mod 2 configuration. But the program never reached a complete Mod 4 flight configuration before NASA concluded the effort in 2023. Research programs get wound down. They run out of time, they run out of funding, or the technology readiness level at the end of the program window isn't where the original schedule assumed it would be. The X-57 ran into all three of those conditions to varying degrees. The motor controllers, which had to manage each of 14 motors independently while cross-communicating about power demand and thermal state across the whole system, required more iteration than projected. The software integration between the flight control system and the propulsion management system needed extensive rework. The folding mechanism for the leading edge motors, which had to be light, reliable, and aerodynamically clean when retracted, was mechanically difficult to get right. And battery energy density, the figure describing how much energy you can store per kilogram of battery weight, kept improving throughout the program's lifespan, which was good news for electric aviation broadly, but it also meant some of the X-57's design assumptions were being revised mid-program as better cells became available. The program was not a failure. I want to be clear about that. The aerodynamic concept was validated. The computational modeling for how distributed leading-edge motors enhance lift over a reduced-span wing was accurate. The wingtip propulsion interaction with tip-vortex flow matched the predictions. The core physics worked. What the program revealed is that the engineering challenge in distributed electric propulsion is not the aerodynamics. The aerodynamics are solvable. The challenge is the systems integration. 14 independent propulsors, each with its own motor, controller, propeller, and thermal profile, all running simultaneously and coordinated by flight control software on a moving aircraft, in real atmospheric conditions, across a full flight envelope from sea level to altitude. That's a systems engineering problem of significant depth. The X-57 program mapped that problem space more thoroughly than any desk analysis could have. NASA published the technical data. The aerodynamic test results, the motor performance data, the systems integration lessons, all of it entered the technical literature. That's how the X-Plane program is supposed to function. You build the aircraft, you fly it as far as the program allows, and then you publish what you learned so the next team doesn't start from zero. Here's what most people miss when they evaluate the X-57's outcome. Research X-planes were never intended to become production aircraft. The X-1 wasn't meant to carry passengers. The X-15 wasn't meant to reach orbit. They were meant to answer specific questions with enough rigor to inform the design of whatever came next. The X-57 answered the fundamental aerodynamic question about DEP and documented the system's engineering challenges clearly enough that other programs can build on that foundation. The data tells an interesting story when you look at where distributed propulsion concepts are showing up in current aircraft development. Several of the electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, the eVTOL category, working through the Federal Aviation Administration's, or FAA's, certification process for the new powered lift category, use distributed propulsion explicitly because it enables the redundancy they need. If you're eliminating the mechanical reliability of a conventional main rotor and tail rotor, you build that reliability into the electrical propulsion architecture instead. Multiple independent motors means no single point of failure at the propulsion level. The work the X-57 program did on managing multiple simultaneous propulsors is directly applicable to those certification efforts, even if the aircraft look nothing alike. The bigger constraint across all of electric aviation remains battery energy density. Current aviation-grade lithium battery packs run somewhere between 200 and 250 watt-hours per kilogram for certified applications. The X-57's full mission profile at altitude required something closer to 400 watt-hours per kilogram to close the complete performance budget. That gap has not closed. The research community's working estimate is that solid-state battery technology, with companies like QuantumScape and Solid Power working on it, could push aviation cells toward 350 to 450 watt-hours per kilogram in the early to mid-2030s. But the path from a laboratory cell to a certified aircraft battery is not short. You need cycle life data measured in years. You need thermal characterization across the full altitude and temperature range your aircraft operates in. You need safety validation sufficient for a certifying authority to sign off. Then you need to certify the aircraft that uses those batteries. Realistically, that puts the technology in certified commercial operation sometime late in the 2030s. In the meantime, the hybrid electric approach is where practical progress is happening closest to the production line. Companies like Ampere are flying hybrid electric conversions of existing turboprop airframes right now, using a conventional fuel source for energy density and electric motors for propulsion efficiency. Rolls-Royce's Spirit of Innovation demonstrated what pure electric propulsion can do in a sprint configuration, setting a world airspeed record for electric aircraft at over 300 miles per hour. Different missions, different architectures, all built on the same foundation of research that programs like the X-57 contributed to. The X-57 Maxwell wasn't the electric airliner of the future. It was a research aircraft doing exactly what research aircraft are supposed to do. It tested the edges of what we understood. It found the limits of what we could build at this particular moment in the development of electric propulsion technology. And it handed the engineers who will build the actual electric aircraft of the mid-century a clearer map of the terrain than they would have had otherwise. In aviation, knowing precisely where the hard problems are is not a small thing, it's half the battle. Sources for today's segment include NASA's official X-57 Maxwell program documentation, technical papers from NASA Langley Research Center on distributed electric propulsion aerodynamics, and Aviation Week and Space Technologies coverage of the program's conclusion. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Keep asking the hard questions.